My name is Devin Sneddon, and today I'm speaking with Timothy Troy. We are conducting this interview as part of the IUP Oral History Program's Coronavirus Collection. We are conducting our interview over a Zoom conference call. Thank you for joining me today, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
First, I'm just going to have to ask you if you can spell your first and last name out for us.
Timothy and Troy, Troy.
Okay, and I'm just going to ask you a series of questions dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. This is later going to be used as sort of you thrown into an archive to record the experiences of people during the time.
Sure.
So the first question I have for you is, when do you remember first hearing about coronavirus, maybe even before it was given that name?
First, I remember it. We were talking about it in my OpenGL computer science class here at IUP. My professor, Dr. Ezekiel, started talking about it around, I think, when we came back from break and started telling us all about it because he wanted us to be informed about it. Pretty much started talking about it before really the news caught on because, like, he watches a lot of global news since he is from India and he likes to keep up on international news. So he started talking to the whole class about it and said that it will probably be coming over here within the next few months, which he was right about.
When you first heard about it, like back when he was talking about in your class, what is your initial impression? Did you think it was going to be something to worry about or?
Initially, no, because I think it was downplayed on a world scale, mostly because China said that they had it under control, which turned out to be not true, and it spread worldwide. But I don't think anybody around that period thought that it would turn into what it is today.
Now, when it first came to America, did your perception of that sort of change a bit then? Was it more so of a home front?
Yeah, it did, because when it started happening, IUP went on spring break, and within a few days of being on spring break, we got an email saying, well, first we didn't, but we saw that other schools were getting emails saying, hey, you're not coming back for, I think it was like a month, and then IUP sent out an email saying, hey, we're going to extend spring break for a while, which then turned into extending it indefinitely, which was pretty crazy. And I don't think when that happened, everyone took it completely seriously because everyone was like, woo, we get to have a longer break. This is awesome. But then everyone was like, hey, don't go outside. You have to stay inside now. And everyone was like, oh, okay.
That actually sort of leads into the next question I had. During the time when it first came over to this country and before lockdown started, did you really foresee things would get nearly as bad as it ended up being?
No, I don't think so, because when it first happened, it only seemed like, because all of our schools and all of the schools around the state and around the country said that they were just going to extend their break for a few weeks or like a month until everything calmed down and then we would come back. So I think everyone was like, well, yeah, this will come and go. It'll be a thing that doesn't last forever. It'll be hard for a month. And then it turned into a lot longer than a month.
Well, when would you say you first started thinking, oh, this isn't another, you know, short off thing like H1N1 or Ebola was? When did it hit you that this is serious? This is going to be a problem?
I think when our spring break got extended for like the month or so, 2 to 2.5 weeks in, everyone started going to the store and buying all of the toilet paper, all of the essentials. You couldn't get soap, you couldn't get like fresh meat, and if you could, it was expensive. Anything was extremely expensive around that time. everything was crazy. Around 2.5 weeks into the extended break is probably, I'd say, when I realized, wow, this is going to be something different.
And when all that started, the people buying all the stuff, things started shutting down. You were still in Indiana, yes?
Yeah, I was still up in an apartment around Indiana campus because I think pretty much almost everyone was, because we were all hopeful that we were going to go back to school, which didn't end up happening. And after that, people around us who lived at my apartment started leaving, and they all went back to home because they were from like Maryland or Florida. Everyone just started leaving, which turned Indiana almost into a ghost town.
So when everything did start shutting down, you know, you're up in Indiana away from home currently, everything's going into lockdown. Well, what was it like initially? Did it affect you personally? Did you think it was going to last for a while when it started?
I don't think at first it really affected me, because I spend most of my day working on a computer as a computer scientist. I spend most of my time on a computer. So initially it didn't affect me, but within a few weeks I started getting really antsy. I wanted to go outside, which we were not supposed to, well, except for essentials, but I just wanted to go outside and I guess see my friends again and have more human interaction.
During lockdown, do you have any like stories or experiences that came from it? Maybe something to do with school or scholarships or the like?
yeah, I have a scholarship through IUP called the Cybersecurity Scholarship, which is sponsored by the DoD. And normally, you get the scholarship and you are chosen by an agency to come and, like, during your junior year, you get chosen by a place, and then that summer you go out and work an internship there so you can get a feel for what it's like. And then after you graduate, you go down there and work for however many years. But during this summer, because I was a junior going into my senior year, I had to do an internship with them. But since almost everybody in the government was working from home, I didn't get to have a in-person internship. So I had to have a at-home internship with the government, which everything was not figured out. I still learned a lot, but it was almost like controlled chaos.
Did you know anybody, was your personal life affected by the disease at all? Did you know anybody who was affected, family, friends?
I have some of my relatives who aren't super close to me have been affected by the virus. I haven't come into contact with them. They have had exposure to the virus, which then they would quarantine. They all tested negative though. So thankfully they didn't get it. My father does work at SCI Laurel Highlands in Somerset at a prison. And a few of the inmates there, around the time everything started spiking up massively, did contract the virus. So then my dad had to be tested, and they had to do tracebacks and stuff to see if he ever came in contact with anybody who came in contact with the prisoners, which he did not. So he was fine to not quarantine. But other than that, I haven't had firsthand contact with anybody who has gotten the coronavirus.
And now, obviously, as we're talking right now, the pandemic is still ongoing. We're still in the middle of it. So next question I have is sort of two parts to it. How would you say that COVID-19 has affected your current academic experience or career opportunities? And then how do you think it's going to affect it going forward in the future?
Okay, so my academic opportunities, I was lucky enough before the virus to get this scholarship, so I already have something lined up, which I'm very thankful for. So I have that under control, but I know like a lot of my roommates are also computer scientists, and it is very, very difficult right now to find someone willing who's willing to take on an intern, or there's just not a lot of job positions because of the way everything is happening right now. Nobody really wants to take on new hires when they're unsure of their business sustainability being like going forward in the future. They don't want to have those expenses if they don't need to, which around this time we're all me and my roommates are graduating, and I have something lined up, but nobody else can find a job right now, which is horrible, and everybody's worried about what they're going to do in the future. And I know there were two parts to this question. What was the first part again?
How is it affecting stuff currently? Which I think you just...
Oh, okay, yeah.
But how do you think it would also affect things going forward, maybe the next few years?
Well, I think... So doing my internship with the DoD this summer, I think a lot of companies have found, remote work to be a lot more valuable than they once thought it to be. Because when you go into a workplace and you have to sit there at a desk for 8-9 hours a day, it can be kind of monotonous and grueling, and you're not happy or comfortable in your surroundings. I know with my agency in the DoD, they found remote work to be morale boosting because people get to stay in their own homes, which they're comfortable with. They have pets that they get to see every day. So I think that has somewhat been a benefit to companies. I mean, this is really only for a select few jobs that can work from home, because there are many that can't. Like being a computer scientist, you can do everything through the internet. You can type all your code through the internet, which is really nice. But there are lots of essential workers who don't have that opportunity, like business, like small businesses, like any restaurants, anything like that. People who are selling goods in their store, this has really affected them because they can't do work remotely. They have to go into work, and anybody who's going into an occupation like that, it's really hard for them to find a job right now, as most small businesses are not doing well. Lots are closing. Mega corporations have found ways to go through and make it, but they also have lots of money to make it through these hard times.
A little bit of a less dreary question. Lockdown has since been lifted. But during that time, we were in there for quite a couple of months, less social interaction, less to do all around. What did you sort of do to pass the time? Did you find any new hobbies or new interests? What did you spend your time doing?
Throughout quarantine and lockdown, I picked up more programming languages. I took time to better my own skills, to learn more, which luckily... me being a computer scientist, I have the ability to do that. Sadly, for a lot of others, there isn't as much opportunity to do that. But I have learned a lot about myself and about my skills throughout quarantine. I did take up photography, which has been fun and interesting. Going outside was nice and refreshing for once, safely distancing yourself and pretty much going just to the woods to take pictures where nobody else is going to be. But other than that, I have learned a lot, I think, over quarantine. It did get, I did throughout it feel depressed being inside. Being able to actually go out now semi-safely has made me feel better about that.
Now, I don't mean to stray too close to politics, as this is mainly focused on the virus itself. But obviously, coronavirus has had a significant effect. We're in an election year right now. It's been a hot topic on news centers from the government for months now. Do you think that the current administration is doing enough to prevent this disease with the measures they've taken thus far?
I really don't think so. I think a lot of this could have been avoided because up until almost last week-ish, whenever, well, maybe not last week, but maybe a few weeks before that, nothing was really being taken seriously by the Trump administration. He downplayed it massively, saying that the flu kills more people, which, but it was massively downplayed. We are leading in the world for coronavirus cases due to negligence. Everything could have been handled better, but it wasn't, due to our current administration, which is a complete failure of our administration. Yeah, I just think this could have been avoided. Every other country, Japan, for example, their government said, hey, social distance, wear masks, and we're going to get through this. And they did. And they have very few cases. Here in America, we do have more free liberties, and everyone took that. Well, our president saying that it's no big deal. Everyone just kind of took that as, oh, well, no reason to change up daily activity.
Well, that kind of goes into my next question as well. What are your thoughts on those groups out there who are giving out anti-mask protests, saying it's against their right, and also those groups who deny the virus existing whatsoever? What would you have to say about them?
Well, the anti-maskers, it's almost similar on the scale to anti-vaxxers. There's definitely like a reason to wear masks. Like, there has been science to prove that wearing a mask greatly reduces the rate of infection. There is a reason. It may affect their civil liberties, but it's not about that. It's about keeping everyone safe and not killing any more people who do not have to die. And I don't think anybody in the administration right now understands that, and there should have been mandatory masks from the start. It should have been mandatory. I understand that we live in America and America free, but we should have been wearing masks from the beginning. Everybody needs to wear a mask. There's medical conditions out there that stop people from wearing masks, but if a doctor performing brain surgery for 14 hours can wear a mask and get through it just fine, then almost everybody can wear a mask and be fine. And there was a second part to your question, but I do not remember.
What are your thoughts on those groups who straight up deny the virus existing?
Yeah, I don't know what to say about them. I guess they can deny it all they want. Good on them. I know they think that it's just going to go away after this election year is over. It's not. There's science to prove that it's not just going to disappear. There's science to prove that it does exist. And if they want to pretend like it doesn't and hurt millions, then that's on them. And I don't know what more can be done for them other than just showing them facts, but people will not listen anyway, so.
As of the time of this interview, there currently is not a vaccine out for the coronavirus. However, we've recently been hearing news from both the Trump administration and some health agencies that there is a vaccine in the works. Would you say you're optimistic that it's going to be arriving relatively soon, within the next few months, perhaps?
I wish that I could be hopeful about it arriving in the next few months. With all the bureaucracy that is in like how everything works in America. I wish that I could say that it was coming within the next few months, but I just can't see it happening soon due to all of the regulations for drugs and how drugs get passed. I would absolutely love if there was a vaccine coming within the next few months and we could return back to normal life. But at this current rate, I don't know. I wish and hope that there will be, but I don't know.
Maybe not too soon, but I like to believe personally that there will eventually be a vaccine.
Eventually there will be.
Once that comes to pass, there's a vaccine, it's well distributed through the country, most people are getting it, and the virus is more or less a thing of the past, less of a worry. Do you think that things are just sort of going to go back to the way they were before, or do you think there's going to be some definite differences?
I don't think that everything is going to go back to the way it was. I do think because of the hardship everyone has gone through, I hope that from now on, when something like this happens, like there's a new disease spreading, that everyone takes more precaution. Because I remember when I was a kid in elementary school and the whooping cough was going around and everybody was getting the whooping cough, and it did go away, but I don't think there was that much like mass hysteria about it. But after what has happened throughout the coronavirus, I would hope that in the future, more diseases will be taken way more seriously. And I do think like masks in a lot of other cultures are already very present. When people get sick, people wear masks in other cultures. Up until this point, I can say that I've never seen anybody wear a mask when they're sick. Like if they have the flu, I've never seen anybody go outside wearing a mask to prevent others from catching their sickness. But I think from now on, like when someone is sick, I think it will probably be customary to wear a mask outside when you are sick to stop the infection of others. And from what we've learned now, I hope that businesses can learn, like take in and learn what we've learned from this whole situation and better organize their business to have a backup plan, like with money or stock, to better combat situations like these. Because I read a thing about like Walmart in the 80s and 90s. In the back, they used to have a gigantic stock, like back stock of product that would be distributed throughout the store for months and months and months. But it lost them it lost them money because of all this stock in the back, that they found out that it was cheaper if they only keep around, I think, 2 weeks worth of stock on hand at any given time. And when this happened, every Walmart around the country pretty much sold out of its 2 week stock of toilet paper and essential items. So I hope this helps businesses to realize that profit margins aren't as important as safety.
Now, of course, COVID is a pretty unique case, not to downplay it. Not every disease turns into quite such a big deal as this one happened. It's extremely rare that it does.
Yeah.
But given that coronavirus has happened and it's gone to such levels, do you feel the next time they're talking about some disease on the news, something that seems small, they're not really sure about it, you think you might pay a bit more attention this time around?
Yeah, I will definitely pay more attention. I hope that our government and government officials pay more attention so that they can call awareness to new diseases that are spreading like this, or that have the potential to become something like this has become, and not downplay it. But I think as long as people remember that this more caution will take place in the world, as long as people remember what happened during the coronavirus.
And I have one last question for you. After everything we've talked about today, is there anything that you'd like to say, any of your personal thoughts that didn't come up in the questions I asked?
One thing that I would like to say is, I think during this time, I think a lot of people have come to terms, I guess, with understanding what depression is, because everybody sitting inside had, like, thousands of millions of Americans sitting inside depressed, and I think it led to a better awareness for mental illness as well during these hard times, which I think is also good. And I think more people will take mental illness more seriously after this as well.
All right. Well, Mr. Troy, I'd like to thank you for your time and your willingness to share your experiences with us here today.
And, thank you.
Thank you for participating in our project.
Absolutely.